transport of blood gases. Body has to move two gases around. These two gases are oxygen and carbon dioxide. And both these gases are transported by the blood. We need oxygen to supply our muscles with energy during exercise and during rest. And as a result of that process of supplying energy to our muscles, we get carbon dioxide as a waste product. Carbon dioxide is transported in three different ways. Small amount actually dissolves in plasma, the fluid part of the blood. A fairly small proportion as well can also combine with some of the proteins in blood, like hemoglobin, forming that wonderful biological chemical called carbaminohemoglobin. The vast majority of carbon dioxide, however, is transported by combining with water. When carbon dioxide combines with water, it forms bicarbonate ion. Some textbooks call that hydrogen carbonate ion. Either one is the correct answer. So carbon dioxide transported in three different ways, and you don't really need to know the percentages involved, just the different ways that carbon dioxide is transported. Oxygen transport is a bit more complicated. Oxygen transport combines with hemoglobin in red blood cells and forms a chemical called oxyhemoglobin. Not all the hemoglobin forms oxyhemoglobin. How much hemoglobin forms oxyhemoglobin depends on how much oxygen is around at the time. The more oxygen is around, then the more hemoglobin forms oxyhemoglobin. And what we actually talk about in terms of science is the percentage saturation of hemoglobin, a measure of how much of the hemoglobin has formed oxyhemoglobin. When there's lots of oxygen around, all the hemoglobin carries oxygen. The hemoglobin is said to be fully saturated. The key words here, saturation is the key word. When there's not much oxygen around, this fully saturated hemoglobin, this oxyhemoglobin, splits. And again, the correct term to use, and worthy of a mark probably in the exam, is the term it dissociates, it splits. And when oxyhemoglobin splits, then it releases oxygen. And that oxygen then can go into the muscles. So we have two broad regions we can talk about. We can talk about the lungs and we can talk about muscles. In the lungs, there's lots and lots of oxygen sloshing around. And therefore, all the hemoglobin picks up oxygen and the hemoglobin becomes fully saturated with that oxygen. That fully saturated hemoglobin then travels around the body in blood vessels as oxygenated blood. And eventually that blood reaches the muscles. Well, at the muscles, there's far less oxygen. And because there's less oxygen, this oxyhemoglobin splits, it dissociates, and the oxygen leaves the hemoglobin. Now that's all fine and dandy, and is occurring now while you're listening to this. But when we exercise, things change slightly. When we exercise, two major things happen. First of all, there's an increase in body temperature, an increase in muscle temperature. There's also an increase in the amount of carbon dioxide in the blood, which means the blood becomes slightly more acidic. Both those two factors, the increase in acidity and the increase in temperature, means that more hemoglobin splits from oxygen. There's more dissociation, and therefore more oxygen is released into the muscles. This occurs because when temperatures increase and levels of carbon dioxide increase, the oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve changes shape. That change in shape is called the Bohr shift. Now, this oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve is quite a complicated little thing. And I don't think in the exam you'll be asked more than what happens to this curve. And if you look at the diagram on the PowerPoint presentation, you can see three curves. In that diagram, curve B is the normal oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve. Curve C is the one that occurs when we're exercising, when there's an increase in temperature and an increase in carbon dioxide. Curve C is the Bohr shift curve. It moves to the right. What it does mean is that more oxygen is released from the hemoglobin and is made available to the muscles. The other curve is curve A. Curve A is a curve for myoglobin. More about myoglobin in a couple of seconds. When we deliver this oxygen to the muscles, there's a need for these muscles to extract the oxygen from where it is, the red blood cells, where it's been carried by hemoglobin. And we can measure how much oxygen has been extracted. The difference between the amount of oxygen entering a muscle through an artery and the amount of oxygen leaving a muscle through a vein must, the difference between them must amount to how much oxygen is being extracted. And the proper term for this is the AVO2 difference. When we exercise and when we train, the AVO2 difference increases. What that means is the amount of oxygen being extracted increases. The fitter you are, and when you exercise, we extract more oxygen. The oxygen we extract and goes into the muscles combines with the red stuff in muscles called myoglobin. Myoglobin is an oxygen store. It carries oxygen through the muscles. Curve A on that oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve is the myoglobin curve. What it means is that myoglobin can pick up virtually all the oxygen that's released by the blood, store it in muscles, and then use that as needed to produce aerobic energy. And back to the first slide, possibly, as a result of producing energy, the oxygen is converted into carbon dioxide.